Okay, let's bring this meeting to order. The Newbury Park Conservation Commission, January 3rd, 2012. First order of business are the minutes from 12/20/2011. Any comments?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item is Julia Godfreson, our new conservation agent, or your administrator, right?
Administrator.
Yeah, the office title is administrator, and the reason I put it on as appointment as an agent is I just respectfully recommend that you appoint her as an agent, similar to what you did with me, so that she, you know, she can issue enforcement orders in a short-term basis. That's what it's called.
So there's actually a difference in...
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a title difference. Our job description should really be conservation agent if we want to match the way it is to be done, but it's two different titles.
What's Julia?
She's a conservation administrator underneath the Department of Planning and Development, but in order to act on behalf of the commission, issuing enforcement orders, for instance, I would recommend that you appoint her as agent of the commission.
Make a motion to appoint her as agent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So I would recommend that you leave it such that I can do so as well, only because she's working part-time. If you're welcome to, you know, relieve me of the job, but I think that given that she's only in part-time, it would make sense, I think, to have me also serve as an agent if necessary.
Yeah.
He already is, I think.
All right.
Next item is the wetlands ordinance. I haven't talked to Barry. Is it Connell or Canal?
Connell is right.
That's tricky.
It's Connell. He stood up and said Connell.
He said Connell.
He said Connell, but Richard Jones always says Canal.
Well, he admitted though. He said that's my mistake. Right? He said.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Good.
So I'm hoping that Barry knows his own last name.
Yeah, I'm going with Barry. I couldn't remember which way it was.
I've always been called Barry Connell. So, at any rate, Barry Connell is having a meeting for the Planning and Development group on the 18th. Although they are reconfiguring some of the membership of their subcommittees, which I will hopefully know definitively more tomorrow. But there's been a little bit of adjustment in terms of membership, so I'll let you know. I think the goal will be to have them take it up the discussion of that night, rather than doing only a couple of zoning things and deferring this to an even later date. So I think, you know, between Joe and I and any of you others, we want to do some outreach and try to get them to have a discussion. So basically, all it takes is adoption by the council, but they did have the questions answered and questions they might have before they do so, if they have any.
Yeah. So I know I intend to be at that meeting, so if anybody else wants to go, it would be useful. You can't come in for the meeting?
If we don't have time in this.
They're doing 7 o'clock. It's
a planning board. Isn't the 18th the planning board?
18th is the planning board.
It's a Wednesday, the 18th. Yes. So I think it's planning. It's another joint planning board subcommittee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's why we did that, right?
What
other
committee that might be there?
Okay.
Well, if you could let us know when they have a specific time.
Well, it's 7 o'clock. You know, it's correct, though. 7 o'clock is the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be here in the city council chamber. Yeah. There's a little bit of reconfiguration of members of the subcommittee, so I just want to check on that.
But they will be doing the... rezoning of Story
Ave. They have two items on their agenda. If it is at all possible, and Joe, you might be the best person for this, but if there's any photographs, because I haven't been seeing specific instances that are perfect for this, but if there's some photographs that you might have taken or sites you've been to where we could get, you can even tell us, and we could take a photograph to show where someone's gone right up to a wetland resource area, and we can show why it would be beneficial to have an undisturbed area. Things along those lines, it might be good to give it a photograph because a picture says 1,000 words. in a situation like that.
I don't have one, but a perfect one would be the recycling garage out by the Vernal Pool across from the landfill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You will take a photograph of that. We'll try not to highlight that it's a city, but we'll certainly show that as an example of something that's right up against the resource area.
It's going to be a bunch. I'm not. None are coming to mind right now.
They talked about having a lot of pictures at one time in a presentation for this purpose.
Yeah.
I have an old PowerPoint that I used when I was in Peabody that shows diagrammatically, it was actually specific projects that I was illustrating where someone put a retaining wall, like a 20-foot retaining wall, and it was relatively close to the resource area, and I used that as an illustration of why we needed the no disturb area when our ordinance was adopted there. So that kind of gives graphically the purpose, but I think it'd be nice to have some local photographs of projects the commission has seen but not been able to steer in the right direction. So I can email those around again. I think I sent them a time back, but I can send it again if you want to see those graphics. And then.
I'm trying to remember if I have that. I have worked on a PowerPoint for it, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be as useful for city council as it would be for like a public thing, and maybe even something on the website. I haven't figured out. You know, we're going to have to do the meeting or hearing for the regulations. So maybe at that point we could run something beforehand.
Maybe we can borrow something from that. I think it was one of the sessions had a lot of, that I went to, had a lot of different examples. I think it was the one that defined wetlands and resource areas.
Let's see, let me see some good graphics.
Was it one of the recent ones?
No, it was one of the fundamental sessions, actually.
Oh, okay.
I want to say number 5, but.
Yeah, we can
check. We'll check with MACC and actually we'll check with MACC and see if they have anything that we can use and then reinvent it on the wheel.
And this is specifically for no disturb areas?
Well, I see that as a thing.
That would go into a local ordinance that you might not have.
I see that as being extremely beneficial because that was the big hurdle we had in Peabody when we were adopting it there, because it was relatively new. It was before MACC came up with their model ordinance and was trying to demonstrate why it was necessary to have a no disturb, because otherwise, you know, you can have arguments over whether that's making go right up against the resource area, which doesn't make a lot of sense. So trying to illustrate why a setback would make some sense as a transitional zone. So if they have some on those lines, I think it'd be helpful. I mean, there's the question about the vernal pools and buffers from that, but the same illustration happens just by having a setback to any resource area.
Yeah, I think one of my major arguments was showing the flooding and what's going on, and you want to do everything you can to maintain the wetlands, or it's just going to get worse.
And not all members of council really look closely at, you know, when a job's being done and what damage can be done. You know, there are certain members that might see through our eyes, but others that aren't as familiar need to be reminded of, which is what it's
right.
There's some pictures of the landfill.
I will recuse myself from that discussion. All right, next, beach access, walkover, gangway, all that.
So I have it signed by all but the Director of Public Services. I actually bumped into him at the mayor's inauguration, but I did not have a form with me at the time. So at any rate, I had emailed this around some time ago with the plan for a move. It's actually buttoned up for the winter, but it's been signed by the mayor, signed by myself, signed by the harbor master, three residents, Allison Harquist, Kelsey Buck, and Eric Metzdorf, and just waiting for Tony Fenari. I asked him to swing in the office, but he hasn't been able to swing in yet, so he will, you know, call the vacation, a couple days, that sort of thing. So he'll sign this, and then I'll email him around and see how that, but the plan is basically that, you know, public services remove it October 1st of each year, replacing it May 1st, and then, you know, if the storms are like that, Director of Public Services would arrange for someone in his staff to remove it. We'd have a backup of residents in the area, a couple that could do it if necessary. And Harbor Master would they usually coordinate during storm events anyway, but more typically they do that for snowstorms during the winter. So if the harbor masters wear something during the summer months, then would contact the director of public service and say, hey, you know, on the water side, looks like there might be an event and it's going to be a concern, you know, I'm going to pull that up. And so at least there's multiple people keeping an eye, and then if we do another one in the future, we'll have the same sort of eyes on it.
Yeah, I did go over there the other day, New Year's Day, and the motor's not even on there or anything.
It's not on there. No, I think, I think the biggest problem, and it's a nice walkover, but the biggest problem, I think, is that, you know, because we have this offset where we try to raise things up off the ground, we're basically forcing the steps to be higher and then forcing the ramp to be longer to get back down. So it seems sort of counterintuitive. I've had a few people ask, you know, why are we sending people up just to send them back down again? It's something maybe we should reconsider, you know, looking at in the future as to how efficient and what result we're getting for that. In this case, we have fences on both sides, so, you know, there's probably not a whole lot of light that's going to happen there, although it's nice to have dune grasses to stabilize the area. It's probably not going to be as beneficial in that area.
So there's a motor
with
it? I thought it was
going to
be...
Well, they have both options, basically. So either way, and there's a box underneath it where the equipment will be kept. So I'm still waiting for the contractor to get that back to us, the actual mechanism. He did show me the other day pulling it up, which is works fine, you know. So.
Oh, he was hooked up to pull it up?
He had used a manual fully. Okay. One of his own, just to show how it was working. I said, this works fine. If you're going to get us, you know, obviously it has to be new, the one he's given to us, but he had pulled one of his own just to show us how it worked. And I said, okay, that's, you know, that's working, but... what I want to make sure, the reason I want to have the powered one out there is because I want to make sure the residents don't have to rely on a truck, you know, anything to help them out. So. Okay.
Any the open space and recreation plan update?
So we have, I don't know, Joe, whether I copied on this, but we have Walker Brown Associates, the local planning firm. They're going to be working the open space plan with us. We just haven't had enough time to work on this project because I was wanting to in the office. So they're going to be helping out, doing a lot of the text portions of it, coordinating between the Open Space Committee and the Parks Commission, but also the Conservation Commission. So if you can think about it, you know, the next couple of weeks, think about issues that are concerning you that haven't been addressed from prior plans, which, you know, recent plans, most recent plans on our website. Things that are in there that you'd like to have addressed, specific parcels of land that you think are areas that we should be considering looking at. A lot of them are not new concepts. I don't think you even see any new concepts per se, but just to make sure that the new plan is recommending the type of things that you think are important, you know, referencing the ordinance change or regulations, you know, things like that. Hopefully we'll be done with that before this open space plan is finished, but anything on regulatory changes you'd like to see happen, specific parcels of land you'd like to see the city pursue for acquisition, more conservation restrictions, more trail networks, you know, whatever it may be, you know, more wells, replication of habitat, you know, assistance with, you know, creating more habitat, anything like that. And then they'll be coming around to look for your feedback. They'll schedule some meetings or come to one of your regular meetings. So if you can kind of keep those in mind and then either email them to me, and you'll have their information. They're going to contact you separately, but we want to make sure we get that into the plan. So.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have something. I'm thinking of the Woodman property and how that's going to cost us to deal with, and
right. It'd
be nice to have a contingency fund of some sort to be able to...
Yeah, that's a big one on that radar, too. Yeah. The Seaport folks that had originally come in for the permit on that one do want to meet with the mayor. They had met with me a couple of weeks back, but they want to meet again with the mayor to have a quick conversation about, you know, what might be a possibility there. I think they recognize there's some difficulty with trying to get what they wanted to have happen there done, in addition to the economy being bad. So they just wanted to float and see how, you know, conversations could even go with the city at this point with the new mayor, maybe. But I know the mayor's not too keen on the project as originally came in either, so...
Actually, that's not even the one I was talking about. I was talking about
the
tripartite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's...
The one where the
40B? That's what Andy was talking about.
He's referring to the CBS Tropic Star.
It would be nice to get both.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Right.
We took care of the OEO. Did we sign the OEO?
It was not signed. You continued it until tonight, and I wasn't sure if we were going to get an update tonight, but I thought that was the case. I think your minutes reflect that as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to continue. David might have been here for the...
Yeah, I didn't talk to David at all about that. Did
I should, if he doesn't show up at the end of the tonight...
Well, he circulated...
He sent the...
A revision that had the state comments and
yeah,
a few
right.
comments from the developers' order.
Did I send that to people?
I don't know. I didn't
see it. Okay. So.
I may have. Yeah.
Well, in either case, he's not here tonight, so I don't think we can bring closure to that unless he shows up before we close the meeting tonight. So either way, we'll touch base with him and see if he's coming to the next meeting and to do that.
Okay. Since we have some time, I mentioned before we're redoing the Wet Meadows and Cooper North agriculture license with Nakazaki. Did everybody get a chance to look at that at all? I think it's pretty much like the Jerry Myatt one, but we added the mowing of the backfield. Does anybody have any comments on it?
Move to approve it.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. I'm going to see if I can sign that and then
give it back to Jordan tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. About 10 minutes early.
Do you want to just crawl in if you are trying to fill up the 10 minutes? Do you want to talk about that?
We can do that, and I will recuse myself. Steve, you're on.
I just figured since we have 10 minutes until the meeting time anyway. I talked to Chip Nyland, who was the attorney for New Ventures, and explained to him that there was an issue out there that needed to be addressed. I did take a look out there. I took a swing out before the meeting this evening. It was not done by this evening. I was told that they would try to get it done before tonight, get the erosion control out there. That was not the case. I contacted him again. He said that by tomorrow morning they should have someone out there putting some hay bales out there as an erosion control measure along that slope at the backside, back southern side of the landfill. But as of right now, there isn't anything in place, so tomorrow morning I'll be checking them in then and seeing if that's been accomplished.
What are they going to do about the root cause?
Well, the problem as I see it is actually that it really, I'm not sure how much sense it made to put soil on top of the landfill and seed it at a point where the seed was not going to be able to take fast enough. You do that right before winter season, the grass doesn't have enough time to stabilize anything, so to me it's sort of a waste of seed to have done it that way. But it's either here or there. It's been done now. So, frankly, I think all they can do is stabilize the bottom part of it such that it's captured, the silt is captured, and maybe it needs to be double row or double high row as well. But that's what I talked to them about. But I don't think there's a whole lot they can do on that top slope. They could try to throw a blanket over it, but the wind and so forth, I don't think it's going to necessarily help. I think, frankly, it's probably one of those things that should have either been seeded a lot earlier or waited until after the winter season. It just was not a whole lot of sense to see it with such a short at the time.
It's just it's been sort of an ongoing problem. Sediment washing down there and overflowing that silt fence.
Yeah.
The wetlands below are 4 to 6 inches of sand in the wetlands, which I think they need to get out of there somehow. It's not practical right now.
Right. So, and I have brought a blank enforcement order form this evening, depending on the will of the commissioners. I mean, it is as that corner has definitely been an issue throughout the time that I've been here with that project. Probably the major area that I've seen. I had told them basically to put, if you're familiar with that area at the bottom side where the wetland is, to have a row or two there, but also to have one further up on the slope as you go around the access drive, so that if you're catching it before it gets down to the bottom. I think you forwarded those to everybody, right? Or it was just me?
No, I think it was just
okay. All right. Steven's taking some photographs of this area. Sorry.
I know nothing.
Oh, there's that.
So what? The problem.
So this is, I mean, this top part of it is actually the top of the landfill, which will eventually be seeded and grassed. But because it didn't have any time to take, and there really wasn't, one, there probably wasn't enough seed placed there, but two, it wasn't given enough time to stabilize, it basically is ending up like this, which is not surprising, frankly, given that it didn't have time to take. But there isn't enough erosion control at the bottom to have captured the silt, so it's basically gone over the access drive, you know, down some of the riprap slope and towards the wetland area here. So you'll see some old hay bales and silt fences capturing some of it, but it's not quite enough to keep up. And
the hay bales are almost non-existent by
now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we know how long it took to erode that big chunk of the top?
I don't know. These pictures were taken on December 27th. It was a significant rain, but sometime the week before.
Yeah.
What I saw out there.
I think how much can we anticipate coming down with a double tall row of hay bales?
I would say they should put two of them double high. one at the around the access drive itself, because they won't really be doing any work during the winter. One at the top of the access drive, and then one further down where the wetland area is, in addition to removing the sand that. Has accumulated really up beyond that point.
Well, it's almost, I have a picture of it, I didn't include it, but the sand is right at the top of the berm. Mm-hmm. It almost needs something up there to try and contain it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem partially there is that staking something down on the capped landfill might be an issue, so I don't know how they would stabilize that.
There's hay bales there.
What's it?
There's already hay bales there. Look at the picture.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not anchored down through the.
I'm thinking right at the top of the berm.
Right.
Where it's all rock.
I mean, if they could stabilize it enough in the riprap, yeah. We can certainly have them do that as well. It doesn't mean that we could have them do it for that full length of the radius there.
From the first picture, it looks like there's a lot more material that could come down.
Oh,
yeah, this is
a lot.
When I went out there, this was the same. There was this one large ravine almost in the slope there, but you could definitely have a multiple of these, like, you know, by the end of the season, depending on how much rain and how much snow. And
spring
hasn't hit yet. So, picture by, you know, January, February, we get snow sitting on top of it, and all of a sudden it gets warm. All that water comes down. Again, to me, seeding it before it had a chance to take.
It almost seems like there's a problem with the crops in here. Water is all just kind of flowing this way.
I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything at the top that's unusual about it.
Like pools and then gets directed into
the river. I think all it takes is a little bit of a rivulet and it just.
Yeah, it just works in the direction of the wind and driving rain.
How deep is that?
Oh,
sorry.
Two and a half feet deep, I think.
So there's sand and then there's loam? What's the. You said there's a lot of sand that's come down.
Well, I don't know if there's any loam there. The black you can see is the plastic.
Yeah, there is. I don't know whether the base on their cap was sand and then loam, but there's definitely.
Well, they didn't try to plant grass and sand.
No, there's definitely loam in there. What you see on the surface is really largely loam, but most of what you see down getting past the hay bale seems to be more of a sand material.
I would think that we should issue an enforcement order and have them show us how they plan to address this.
Through the winter, to keep it from doing too much more damage.
Well, silt sock might be more effective just because of the large length of this area.
Well, they're supposed to be the engineers. They should be able to give us the plan.
Steve, what's the length of that erosion?
I'd say it's at least 100 feet.
I would say,
if not longer. So it's building up a pretty good head of steam coming down that slope.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any better.
Are there any other sections on that are?
Well, I only walked
a lot. Kind of eroded like that.
There could be stuff around the back. I didn't go around here.
So that's on a Pearl Lane side?
Yeah.
That's on a Pearl Lane side. think Julie and I will go out there and take a look around the entire building to see if there's anything else that's similar going on.
It's supposed to be warmer at the end of the week.
Yeah.
With no snow inside.
Don't do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the other issue is still, you know, that pipe. Which supposedly...
Well, they claim it's the iron oxide. The DP also confirmed that or claimed that. So,
there shouldn't be any water coming out of that pipe because it's connected to the detention basin. There's got to be a break in the pipe that's allowing that water to get in there. Because it's overflow from that detention basin. The water in the detention basin isn't high enough to come through that pipe.
Okay.
So it's coming from somewhere.
I will talk to Chip about that as well. Find out. I also have the city engineer.
And that's what the last picture is that water seeping through the containing berm into the wetlands. It has a hydrogen sulfide over to it. There's more than iron.
What do we have from the engineers, the contractors, whatever, regarding the conformance with the specifications for grain size analysis, organic content, whatever, of the erosion cap. That, you know, to me, at the top of the landfill, this type of stuff, you know, slumping and stuff, typically happens lower along the side slopes of the landfill, not at the top. Something has to be causing that. There has to be some fault or deficit in the way it's constructed, or there has to be something wrong with the material that it's brought in. Because at the top of the landfill, that's not typical. I've worked on a lot of landfills, and when this stuff happens, it's usually halfway down the side slopes or towards the base of the side slopes where this occurs, not at the top.
Do you think maybe there's a pooling of water there, a collection?
Well, again, what's causing a pooling is it just because they have the wrong, something was constructed wrong, you know, relative to the impermeable cap that allows stuff to pool, or is the material that was placed here not sufficient to meet the specs of appropriate drainage? Because that shouldn't happen.
Even
without regard to the seasonality.
I mean, why is it here and not somewhere else? But I agree, you know, they obviously should fix it.
Yeah, and you know, as I said, you know, they should provide us plans showing what they're gonna do, you know, to fix it, why they think it's gonna fix it, and we've been in there, why is it happening
right
again?
You know, there are these materials that can be used in situations like this that are like glue. I have some brochures at work. It's a
soil stabilizer material.
Yeah. And it's quick acting
right stuff.
And maybe using something like that as a band-aid, because these things only get wider and deeper. And if it got deeper, well, obviously it would have to get through the cap, but who knows how much force there is. It could damage the geotextile, which would be really bad.
We can reference all these things as we get back to them. I think the question is, you know, does the commission want to issue an enforcement order to compel an action from the landfill?
Yeah. Motion to issue an enforcement order. Requesting a report on why this erosion is happening, how they plan to fix it, and the
how they plan to temporarily rest it.
Temporarily and permanently. And
is that
some backup as to why they think this fix is going to actually be winning.
And is that with attendance and representation of the next meeting of the commission?
And to restore the adverse impacts
right.
of solid costs.
Right. Yeah.
Facilitation. Okay.
If you want to put the pipe policy.
I will, if that's the will of the commission, we'll put that in as well as an explanation of the discharge from the pipelines. Okay. So done.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Andy's called Dirt Glue.
Dirt glue? Okay, all right. I will, I've heard of the stabilizer stuff, but let's see the force motor form.
Okay, back to the regular agenda. Certificates of compliance, request for determinations, and minor modifications. First one is Union Specialties, through Malcolm Hoyt.
I got it. Talk to Eric. He got it. Okay. Eric called me 3 times. I was on the road.
Requested this revised plan prior to issuing the certificate of compliance, which was presumably at this meeting.
Does this cover what we need?
And that's one of the others, I mean, he's still there, right?
Yes, yeah. I want to show very much over that.
Any other questions? Motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
If anybody wants to return a copy of that, feel free to give it to Julius. We will put it in the file if you're not keeping it for yourself. We don't need 7 copies, but we don't need more.
All right, next item, Thomas G. Lawrence, 12 L Street. Request for minor modification. I assume we have a request to withdraw.
Yeah, they don't seem to be pursuing this one at all, so I would recommend that we allow them to withdraw without prejudice, and if they want to come back for a modification some other time, that's fine, but they can't proceed until they get the revised plan, which is one of the conditions.
What was that name?
This 12 L Street,
yep.
They were required the original permit to provide a revised plan addressing that removal of the triangular area of the deck. They hadn't done that, and they were trying to both comply with that and get a modification to the plan before the board or the commission, and they, at the last time we spoke to them, they said, well, we'll come back with a revised plan. They hadn't done that, and then turns out they want to withdraw the application or the modification. So I agree it as withdraw without prejudice, but also noting for the record that they still can't go ahead with their project until they get the revised plan in, because the original permit required them to submit a revised plan without the triangular part of the deck. So just for the record, it's not it's still an open ended condition that hasn't been resolved yet by the applicant.
So we'll see a plan before anything.
Right.
Goes ahead.
Okay. Right.
So there's no vote for us at any rate.
I would just say, I would say formally for the record, just to allow, agreeing to allow the applicant to withdraw without prejudice, and if they want to come back a later date, they can.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And next is 8-12 Ferryway, Ultraclad Corp. Request for determination of applicability.
Good evening, Fred Ford, Cameron Engineering, representing Uniclad Corporation. This project is very minor in nature on an existing site. 12 Ferryway, just the installation of a transformer on the property. Ferryway, bottom plan sheet, existing building, which has existing access drives and parking around three sides of the building. Essentially, the entire buildable area is built out on this lot. The green line here indicates the edge of the wetlands, which is north, west, and east on the entire piece of the property here. I think some of the members have known this site right here a few years ago, permitting this for the completion of this building and parking lot. What the project entails is the installation of a transformer down in the southeast corner of the site, partially within the existing paved parking lot. Installation of a utility pole and then trench excavation into the building for underground conduit. We'll bring overhead wiring from the existing utility pole and carry away to that new pole. That'll feed into the transformer and then through into the building. The basic reason for this is the building needs additional power because of the use, proposed use in this building now that was recently sold. And their operation requires more power than what's currently there. The utility company did not allow them to just upgrade the transformer on the pole because of the size that would have been required. So that's why we're proposing a transformer here on at grade on site. We put silt fence erosion control around the limit of work. Very minor work in nature here again. Once that excavation work is done, the parking area will be repaved. Any minor disturbance around the proposed transformer pad location will just be moved and seeded for permanent vegetation erosion control.
What is the square footage of the unpaved portion of the work?
The unpaved is, I would say, it's less than 20 square feet. It's very, very small. You'll have us to transform on a concrete pad with a containment structure around it. We'll have fresh stone surrounding it. So
I think that was about 6x6.
The transformer pad itself, or I should say the containment area, is about 11 feet by 13 feet. And then the pad, the concrete pad that the transformer sits on, is about 5.5 feet by 10 or 7 feet.
How much is it? How high is the containment area around it? I'm just concerned about flooding in this area, actually.
Well, this is going to set up at the grade of the parking lot, which is elevation roughly 20 and a half. The wetlands surrounding this area is about elevation 18.
So they didn't, in the Mother's Day storm, do you have any idea whether they suffered any flooding?
That I couldn't tell you.
I'm trying to pull up some pictures here. I didn't think about this until just now.
I mean, if that's the case, Ferryway would have been underwater as well.
There was water going across parts of Ferryway during that. So I'm concerned it's right next to these big basins. And
the grade Ferryway is lower than the site. So if you come from Ferryway, you come up into the site, even though it's not a significant rise, but the site is slightly higher than Ferryway.
How high is the wall in this containment section?
The containment unit is a detail that we included with the application. And we looked at the cross section. It's a 24-inch. Basically, it's 24 by 6-inch concrete wall surroundings.
Oh, it's 2 feet high?
It's 2 feet high.
That'll probably
but that's partially, but it's only 18 inches of that is below grade. So it's a 6-inch.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. No, I just wanted, I didn't want you to think it'd be sitting 2 feet up out of the room.
So they may want to raise it if they want to avoid.
Yeah, you know, they might consider making that a little higher. You know, if they're concerned about getting
I don't see why they couldn't add another 6 inches or something to it. I have foot-free wall.
I think it would be prudent to do that, considering what's going on out there.
So they can either get those, they either cast those in place or they get them all precast. So I'm sure they could get a, rather than a 24-inch, get a 30-inch, which is not good.
I'm sure that would be cheaper than a transformer.
Yeah, and the cost of the cleanup thereafter.
Right.
Commonwealth of Massachusetts, DOT and Whittier Bridge project.
Some of us just received the your city engineer's commons.
Right.
Right before we left, and other people had to get today. We were hoping that we would have a chance to look at that before we talked about that. Perhaps we could talk about that at the next meeting if that was.
Yep, that's fine.
Agreeable.
We understood, and I mentioned to the commission earlier on that we just got the comments ourselves today, so we'll be the planning office. So.
We think you know all of those are readily addressable. We just want to go through. We'll take the comments in there almost as they were from Jared White's letter, break it down with specific responses in terms of how they propose they get responded to, and we concur or we concur, you know, with this you know slight change or basically on this you know viewpoint, and you know, be able to just basically hopefully go through at the next meeting just. With a bit of time, just kind of you know bang our way through these items and cover them all, and we'll work on ones which you know which still don't have any. We'd like to get all of them off the table, which is concurrence on, and get it down to where we may have some differences. So we have to work on. Hopefully, we plan on being able to get there by working with the peer reviewer and what information we're able to elicit from you folks tonight. We do have a couple of questions ourselves in terms of the resource areas and stormwater. That we'd like to ask before we leave tonight, but if the board has anything specifically to, in terms of based on what they've seen in the peer review, they ask in detail or questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a couple. There, in the peer review, there were a number of places where it was suggested that more information was going to be needed, but they suggested that we maybe issue the order conditions with special conditions, getting those reports. Now, when you're going through this addressing these, if you could include in the narrative something that make us feel more comfortable that having a later detail.
Yeah, and that's one thing
that it won't impact.
So that's one of the things that we talked about internally with the idea. And some of those got into where some of the BMPs were located, looking for you know three test pits. Some of those things we think we actually have already covered because we kind of did a blanket of test pits, and that when we picked the BMP location, some of the test pits fell right in them. But in other cases, it was a test pit 100 foot to the north, 100 foot to the south. We think that 3 foot was all the characteristics being the same covered for those. There are one or two locations, and that's especially the one up by the parking ride, which was a late add, which we don't have any. We need to do that, and we're actually ramping up now to go out and do a few more test bits to follow through. But yeah, we'd like to basically work some language that, you know, with acceptable test results, that the order conditions, because you know we'll send those in. It'll be kind of you know a double check review that everything is concurrent, so it wouldn't change our conditions. And we're also saying
you just don't want to need big surprises.
Without question. And our whole intent is basically to, knowing this is design build, but we have pushed the design more than normal for 25% to have this discussion, is to have enough detail there so all the big decisions and where the water is going, how it's being treated, and some of the details need to be worked out. The idea that the detail it works out doesn't change the design intent and functionality of the system that basically is getting approved. That's what we want to be.
Yeah.
And if anything changed, of course, the design build entity would have to come back and say, for various reasons, whatever they may be, they want to make a change here, and that would be for, you know, to the full jurisdiction of the board. That's what we'd like to get to.
Okay.
Excellent.
And the other question I have was, in this plan, there's a good size of the project is temporary alterations. if you could include something that does a timeline, timeline on the temporary alteration, that is section A of the temporary, it'll be disturbed at such and such a, you know.
Is most of that timeline within the waterfront area that you're talking about, or in general?
Well, in general, like
okay.
Some of the land underwater, yeah. You know, or whatever. Yeah. But just, you know, break it down into sections, so it's not just.
I think we can respond with that fairly well. For Newburyport, the impact area is pretty well defined. You know, the roadway alignment is shifting to the east, to basically the eastern limit of the existing right-of-way. And so that first build, which supports the northbound bridge, which in phase one has northbound, southbound traffic on it, that's the phase one. We get to that point about one-third of the way through the project, then that is fully built out and operational.
Yes.
The next phase is the demolition phase, And then that's rather succinct, about a 4 to 6 month period of the main bridge being demolished. And then that's when the riverfront area is being reworked, and then the new abutment is being built. And that new abutment is being built over the next 6 months, and the rest of the bridge will take to the end of project because we're about a 42-month project.
Right.
So I think in those three big pictures, we can break it down by in zonally talk about where, you know, where the disturbance is and when it basically gets to a completed condition.
Yeah, and also the you know, broken down into the section of type of resource that's going to be temporarily altered.
I think we can do some, yeah.
Okay.
I think that can be worked into the timeline of how we move the project.
Okay.
Because you know, even in the area where we said we'd do deferring based on John Eric White's letter and the Water Department land, that all that happens phase one. And that has to be in place to support the first operational phase of the project, which is the Northbound Bridge. So first 18 months, that happens. And actually, that'll most likely happen within the first 6 to 12 months of the project. You know, coming in there, doing that, performing it, it'll be operational once the bridge is operational, but it will be built out before then. You know, the only thing in terms of time of year, you know, basically that type of work doesn't work well December through February when general ground's generally frozen, not this year, but generally frozen. So I think we can work those into, you know, when they would be like the big three phases of the project.
Right. Okay.
Are there any more questions from the board in terms of, you know, wanting to have some further development or even how it keys into the peer review team?
If I can make a recommendation or suggestion, if necessary, we'd be happy to sit in on a meeting if it's trying to coordinate, because you only have 2 weeks between now and the next meeting, to try to have both our city engineer and the FST rep and, you know, someone from your firm,
okay, sure,
together to try to, because I know sometimes a lot of back and forth, it's hard to really coordinate things if we're together in the same room. So if that's necessary, you know, from the earlier we know about it, we can coordinate and make sure that we can all be in the same room and try to hash out some of these bullet point issues on stormwater so that, though presumably you'll have some responses back to the commission that address both FST's concerns and the city engineer's concerns.
I think our intention is basically we're going to finish up our staff work this week with the idea of having some type of coordination session with FST next week, probably the middle portion of the week, Tuesday, between Tuesday and Thursday next week, and we'll coordinate back with FST and set a meeting with John Rector attending.
Yep.
Okay. We can do that, and then just, you know, make it part of the process.
Just try to speed it up so that
that would be good. That would be a good work session. You know, for the just all, you know, we need to know what we're doing here, and that's just one quick way of getting through it. But, and from our side, we actually have a couple of questions in terms of based on how we're looking at the peer review that we'd basically like to solicit some input based on our questions to the board. And these get out of my personal expertise, so I'm going to defer the resource area information to Sarah Allen. And then we have, I think actually stormwater, we're okay, but we'll follow up with stormwater with what Steve talked about, that relocated outfall.
He's probably just quick question. But I wanted to clarify the coastal wetland restriction order. I know Newburyport has some restricted areas. Do any of you know if they are underneath or associated with the bridge on the Merrimack, or are they all out?
Not to my knowledge.
From what I remember, I think they're further out.
Yeah, the only part that I've seen is out of the flats.
Yeah, that's just where the particular map I had ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the best way to, you know, we should clarify this just to make sure. What's the best way to get that done?
We should have a conversation with you just to map that. I'm pretty confident that you're outside of that.
Okay. And another kind of general comment, you know, throughout the peer review for the wetlands portion is that the descriptions for resource condition is not fully described. And that was deliberate in part because we went through a fairly detailed ANRED process with you. We've already submitted the NOIs for river borings and for terrestrial borings. So I'm wondering, from your perspective, how much additional information from us you would like to kind of satisfy. Would you like us to pull up pieces of the ANRED that are relevant to this and insert them into our follow-up response to the comments, or should we refer to the ANRAD? What was
I think it would be good for the commission to recap that in a summary format.
Well, that's kind of what we did in our original report. We briefly described the wetland resource and then described what the impact is and the extent of it. But, we can insert additional information.
Yes, you're asking whether you should just put in a reference to that plan or repeat some of that.
Right.
I would feel if it's not that much encumbrance on you, it's probably good to include it.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
So that's my thing.
That's what we do.
I still have some concerns about the shading, and if you want to go through this.
Sure.
First of all, we'll do that.
Well, I'm standing here.
I have a hard time coming to the same conclusion that there isn't going to be any effect on the shade of the building itself. And I went out there and I took some pictures, which I have here. Under the existing bridge, there's nothing growing there. For whatever reason, one would probably think it was something that would be in the shade. There could be other reasons. There's also nothing growing further to the west from the bridge. There's no salt marsh or nothing there. It could be shaded from the bridge. It could be there's a lot of natural shading from the trees that is there or something like that. To the east of the bridge, there's a reasonably good salt marsh. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of species of sprucken and ultimately. So the new northbound lanes are going to go directly over a portion of that salt. The bridge, the northbound lanes will be somewhat narrower than the existing bridge, but it will also be low from the existing bridge. I don't see how that salt marsh is going to survive with the amount of shade it's going to get. And also, that's in the gap where they exist, where the scarring from the outfall is. That's where your rocks are going to go to promote growth of the salt marsh. But it's underneath that new northbound lane. I just don't see how anything's going to grow.
I'm going to back up. Hopefully, I'll cover all these.
And
parts.
Also, one of those references you cited says this. Has Spartina alton flora in particular is very dependent on having full sunshine. Its growth and productivity drop off remarkably.
It does.
So.
There are a few factors going on. When you go, okay.
Yeah, since we're marking that pretty list, just the thing that where graphic helps.
We set up last year.
Just so we can kind of talk to it. This is, let's see, the existing bridge is running, I think, right through here.
So it's the one that arrow.
It's the light gray, if you can. Don't look at the dark gray.
Arrow's right from there to there.
Oh, okay.
So
that becomes so the new gap between the new structures.
All right, so that's the existing bridge. So it's running right over this area here. When you go down on this shoreline, there's a few things going on. You're correct in that there's a lot of shade from the embankment. There's no doubt about that. There is also no substrate. It's ledge for the most part. Starting up sort of up this point and wrapping all around into here until it meets the riprap of the existing bridge. And part of the reason that there is no substrate there is that it's just natural ledge. It's very steep. The other part is that there appears to be a fair amount of scour that comes through there periodically. There's some fines there now, but there's also, if you dig into it, it all can start hitting coarse material very quickly. And to me, that indicates that the fines that you see down here where the salt marshes are absent there. So there's no scour going on. That also makes it very difficult for plants to persist. Now, you may be correct that if the bridge was not here, you would see a better developed marsh further that way. And we're not claiming that there will be no impacts. We're claiming that impacts will be moderate. You may see a decrease in alternate flora, but you will see other species come in. There is Spartina pectinata in there. There's bent grass. And on this side, there's carrot calycea. It's a salt marsh. It's called salt marsh. I'm not coming up with a common name for it. So there are other species that may come in. So my thought is that when you look at the shading analysis, you will still have those effects. You'll actually have more light, because even though the new bridge is, I think it's 5 feet lower, undercarriage 7, we did our calculations looking, not including that superstructure root, under substructure, you know, the lattice that's currently under the bridge. That will not be there. That's going to let more light in. And also pulling back these abutments, I think it's going to open up quite a bit. That's certainly what the data indicates. And you'll have the sun coming around. The sun actually is in June 21st. The sun is rising almost over here. So this side of the bridge, the Ainsworth side of the bridge, is in shadow in the early morning hours, and it's full sun over there. So if you're pulling back the abutments, you'll get more sunlight slanting in the roof.
And the other element I think of the shading is that right here is the existing outfall of 32 inch. It bisects the marsh, and that we're going to talk about that later. That's when we actually nudged a little further west. When the relocation was here, we just kicked it a little further west through the discussions of the last meeting. But with this area that right now gets, you know, a running, you know, whenever you get a good storm, it goes running right through there. Now that won't happen anymore. And that's what we're proposing, putting the boulders to basically collect the sediments and create its own natural restoration.
And just to talk about boulders a little bit, if you look at this marsh here, I don't know if you noticed, but there are boulders kind of peppered through.
At the western end, or eastern end, but there are some large boulders there.
Right.
But if you get closer to the bridge, there's fewer and fewer large ones.
Explain that.
Stars helping the sediment accumulate.
Right. But to me, it's really striking that right behind the boulders is where you get the most vigorous structure. So what we're proposing is extending some additional boulders along through here, at least to protect this salt marsh here, to allow some sediment to start accumulating there and protect anything that wants to grow in there. And because I think if you watch it, you'll see current come in and it actually kind of bounces off. You can see where the peaks are eroding in here. And I think protecting it from scour.
Just another question. It doesn't show up here. If there's a granite or concrete post up there, and I'm just wondering,
is the right of way?
Is that the edge of the right of way?
Yeah. That's the edge of the right of way.
Over here.
So that,
yeah.
The survey mark. It's like 6 inches straight. Because
there's also a piece of rebar with some red flagging on it, 10 feet further east of that, and the dirt there.
That may have been potentially at one point in time someone's wetland markings, but you know, we used to, rebar wasn't placed right, but they actually, just like they, you know, trees and whatnot, used to get flagged. That may have been one of the flag points that got recorded.
Well, they also, I wasn't aware of this until recently, that they did do supplemental plantings in here, so it may have been associated with that.
Right after this bill.
Right.
If encouraging the Spartina ultimately doesn't work,
that was my question. We can consider this an experiment. If the Spartina doesn't start taking over, that's where
I'd like to go. I mean, what are the alternatives? What are the kinds of salt marsh vegetation?
Well, I guess
would be plan B.
I wasn't viewing it as a need to increase Spartina. That would certainly be an admirable goal, and if it happens...
No, I don't think we necessarily are either. We don't want to lose the vegetation that's there.
My concern is that we're going to start losing
Spartina.
But you won't.
But Spartina is particularly sensitive to light. Maybe there are other types of vegetation that could do better.
If the Spartina experiment doesn't work. If we lose the Spartina and something else replaces it, fine. But if we lose the Spartina or nothing else replaces it, then we need a plan for what we're going to do about that.
If I may, this is typically dealt with in orders of conditions whereby an inspection or check is done in a certain period. If something hasn't taken, then there's a requirement that a plan B be undertaken or reviewed by the commission, which is, seems to be where you're headed.
We could certainly entertain something like that. Right now, we're not proposing any monitoring or any... kind of restoration, mitigation, whatever, because our studies so far indicated that there won't be an issue.
We're just proposing that we are improving the habitat in the area just by placing the stones and removing the freshwater drainage flow through there. And from the state, the shading study showing that we're no worse than we are today. In terms of the new bridge going there, that the enhancements to the environment, the boulders, and the loss of the fresh water should cause fines to collect and should cause those the grass that's there, which has been pretty hardy to stay there, to basically seed itself through the area and just naturally fill in.
Well, I think we understand what you're saying, but yeah. I think what we're saying is, and if it doesn't, then what? Is there a plan B or not? And I think some of us would like to see some sort of a plan.
We'd like to see
a monitoring plan that if in some number of years after, in theory, this putting the boulders there could happen as part of the first stage of construction, because you're going to remove that up, and then it will be one of the first things.
And that's correct, right? Phase one is for the first year is when the outfall is relocated?
The existing outfall will stay in place until we have a chance to build a new one. The construction of the new outfall will require demolition of the new bridge because the new outfall is leaving. So I can just
by year left the construction after the new outfall.
What's the two?
Would be about a year left of construction after.
Yes. Basically, we have to build the first bridge, demolish the existing bridge. Into the construction of the new abutment is when that outfall gets relocated, and so 6 months, 18 months plus six, so basically you are around 24 or 26 months into it is when that outfall gets relocated, and the total project is about 42 months. So halfway through, we've got another year and a half to go from the project by the time that outfall should be operating.
The existing outfall, that won't be carrying materially more water than it is now up to the time when it's terminated, right?
One key element of that is with the construction build out of the road, the DB is going to have to use a combination of the proposed basin, this proposed new report land, and other features upstream, so that essentially the size of the outfall is still going to be 36 inches.
Right,
structures.
But you've got a new basin,
yeah.
And you're not going to be running water off the northbound lanes. That doesn't go through that collection system, right?
Yeah, everything upstream, south of the basin should be routed through the basin at that point.
All right.
In the early stages.
Isn't the existing outfall right where the new bridge is going? Or is it in the gap between them?
The abutments approximately figures. The orange is the existing outfall. So
aren't you going to have to remove it to build the northbound lanes?
What we're planning on is some temporary piping around the new bridge and then tapping back into the existing outfall. So the outfall will stay in place.
The existing outfall is pretty tough shit.
Yeah. It is.
But as far as what we expect is that downstream 100 feet or so,
the pipe will still be used.
for the first time.
Discharge at the same location? Will you temporary conduit discharge in the same location?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a temporary. The outfall would stay. I don't know if I can just probably get that.
So the discharge point does not
change. Doesn't change.
Right.
So basically,
how we get to the discharge point?
What they would do is just temporary manhole there. You use the new pipe and temporary manhole and just utilize that outfall for the first couple of years until that outfall can
be at the wall. When I left there the other day at low tide, interestingly enough, there's a manhole cover about 5 feet east of that small portion of salt marsh.
Yeah,
well, you found it. If you were out the last time, you couldn't figure out where it went.
I think it
blew off the system. And it's like what happens in downtown area. They bubble sometimes with a peak flow. Or some kids were out there and popped it, and they thought it was fun to roll it down the hill, which is probably
what
happened up
there.
It's pretty attractive. You walk up the embankment along the abutment, and you find an open manhole.
Well, the cover's
no cover.
Looks like it's been there a lot, too. One other question we had was the drains off of the bridge, and the existing bridge that come down and then just splatter on the rocks under the bridge.
Yeah.
And moving the abutment back 50 feet, is that, are those drains going to be near the abutment? And are there going to be some further up that will drain directly onto the resource area?
No. I think what you're talking about now is under the existing bridges, you can see the pipes just sticking out.
Right.
And under the proposed loop, that wouldn't be the case. From between pier to pier, it would be collected through a piping system and then sent down at the pier in the water.
Okay, directly into the water.
Right.
So there'll be nothing over falling onto whatever resource is exposed to low tide.
No, and same thing for this section here. Basically, what we would do is collect it in a similar fashion and either outlet it directly down this pier or outlet it down the abutment and tie back in just a favorable waterfall.
But that's what all this covers. Just the same way you're concerned about multiple discharges on the riverfront, the state's concerned about their structure having multiple individual bits splashing on the steel structure, so they want to capture it all, basically, you know, downspout it at the piers. And here, maybe you're going to send this zone, as Steve said, this zone in here from the new abutment, either we'll send it this way down this pier, or we'll take it and tie it into this outfall and pull up the outfall. But it won't just drop in the riverfront area.
And no treatment at all of that water.
No, you know, technically within the DEP regs, the direct discharge of scuppers over bridges, is allowed. But we're containing and localizing it to protect the bridge, but we're not. There's no treatment proposed today.
Okay, I guess I'm satisfied. Well, I'm viewing this as an experiment. I know you aren't, but I have very little faith that that's part time is going to survive.
Would it be possible at the current outfall? Would it be possible to put some riprap of some sort to slow that water down when it's coming out?
That's what that's what the proposal is. So
I know the new one. I'm talking about
for a couple of years.
The current one to try and.
I don't see why it couldn't be able to happen.
You
don't want to be
posing the boulder sill, on the outer.
Is this the
outer edge of it? So we'll have the boulders available.
Yeah, I guess technically, the invert for the existing outfalls is in the 100-year floodplain. So the new outfall, we intentionally located outside of the 100-year floodplain. So that's
I see.
That's
a resource.
Okay. It's actually scoured back. You can see it's scoured back. So it's
I've been down there a bunch of times. Uh-huh. If there was something that could be done, but not.
So it's just the southern edge.
Yeah. So is this end of pipe velocities?
Yeah, well, it's obviously it's scouring, it's doing a job on that
what if we were to investigate some energy dissipators for the end of the pipe, you know, that doesn't involve planting stones or planting
air? Yeah. Anything that would slow it down.
We'll take that back. We'll look into it.
Well, I think you've got a lot of water coming outside that outfall pipe, too. I mean, that's your erosion that's taking place, and the pipe is broken. So, you probably should reinforce it.
All right, we'll move on from that.
Okay.
So I was going to briefly go over the outfall. It seems like we kind of talked a little bit. I just give a quick snapshot of facilities. Last time we met, we looked at the location of the outfall. We wanted to see how far west we could practically push it. What we did was we centered the center line of the outfall to be exactly in the middle of the proposed bridge. We said it's under where the boat shade occurs on the bridge, seems to make the most sense. It falls basically within the limits of disturb, within the limits of the boat works. And it results in 30 feet west of where it was proposed before. Just as you look at earlier, salt marsh showing the pink patch here and here, existing outfalls down here. So that's our proposal. I know one of the comments that we had from FS&T was some calcs on how that design was formulated. So what our plan is to make the new plan available, make the velocity calcs available for the outfall, with tomorrow if possible.
Prior to our next individual meeting, we go over in detail peer review comments. We brought FS&T here with us today, the experts on wetland and wildlife, stormwater, as well as Ed Hollingshead, the FS&T project manager. And we appear to respond to all their comments on a verbal basis if you want to go through them one by one and then resolve some of the issues. But I think it's a good idea if you want to meet separately and go over your city engineer's comments as well as FS&T.
I think it would help you to wrap up some of those issues before the next meeting.
Right, sure.
Definitely.
So, Andy, do you want us to work through the schedule now with John Eric, or do you just want to send an email and tell him that I'll be in contact?
You have his email address, correct?
What was that?
You have his email address?
I have that.
Yeah, I would just CC me, send it to him, CC.
I'll contact him by email.
Yeah, sure. I'll just attend whatever time you guys work out.
Okay.
So, if there are any other questions, we'll follow. I think Tim is going to talk about riverfront areas for a few minutes.
So, as you know, at the last meeting, we talked about providing a planting plan. So, what you have in front of you is a preliminary list of plants that we're talking about using on the side slopes and underneath the bridge for our restoration areas. The general theme here was on the side slope was select plants that have, moderate to high tolerance for drought and where shade really isn't an issue. So again, that will be on our side slopes, not underneath the bridge, on either side of the proposed bridge. And underneath the bridges, we are proposing shade tolerant shrubs and plants which are also drought tolerant because there's not going to be a whole lot of water or sun. So that's this general selection of plants that we're going to use for our restoration area of the existing degraded area underneath the bridge, which is currently riprap. And it's also for this blue hatching, which are our temporary impacts on the side slope. Per the shift in the proposed outfall, which is right here, basically in pink and it's not hatched with the green. We're just going to have to relocate that slightly to the west on a riverfront area impact plan. And so we'll provide this to you prior to the next hearing. The splash pad is slightly being reduced with this new proposed design from the previous design. So we'll be able to achieve a little bit more restoration underneath the existing bridge. So we'll have to rework these calculations and get them back to you. Originally, we had proposed a linear swath of plantings in front of the proposed outfall, but based on the velocities that we're going to be seeing at that outfall, we decided not to do it because there's a high likelihood that it won't establish. So our total restoration area is, we're going to have to recalculate that. It's going to change slightly. It may decrease slightly. As I said, we'll see a slight increase in that restoration area by reducing the size of the splash pad, the level spreader. But we'll also see, a reduction in that area by removing the planting in front of the level spreader. So all in all, we'll get you a final planting plan and riverfront area impact plan for the hearing in 2 weeks.
So that would be more detailed, like a typical landscape plan?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Yes, with spacing.
Great.
And if you have any, if anyone from the commission or you, Andy, have any comments on the planting plan, feel free to provide them. I'm going to give a copy to Marshall as well if he has any comments.
Okay.
So this is just a preliminary list. We're going to go back out next week with our consultant team and with our own in-house landscape design folks to just nail this down. So if there's any questions on riverfront at this time, I can field them. Otherwise, we can finalize this at the next hearing. Yeah, thanks.
And the only other subject area, we're going to address the O&M plans. And, Alice Martin, asked if she was going to address this in terms of the O&M plans for the B&Gs.
Last time we met, there was a request for a site-specific O&M and long-term pollution prevention plan. We'd indicated that we were going to provide one consistent with the MassDOT statewide plan, and I've got one today for you. This is specific to the Whittier Bridge Avenue project.
And would this be the same model you presented us to the other commissions?
Yes, this is going to be a project-wide plan.
Okay.
Actually, I think we'll just leave it there.
Summarize in terms of basically the setup and what's in there, or
No, it's all pretty self-explanatory. It touches on all the stormwater BMPs that we had proposed. Has inspection and clean-out schedules, and the, like I said last time, the data consistent with what we did statewide on all our roadways. It's a way to memorialize it for this project. Provide that level of information to the commission.
I heard we received some specific comments from John Eric that we'll be addressing also on the B&P within the New Newburyport Water Department land, special procedures and controls potentially of a ball spill on the highway and whatnot. So we're going to go through and address those comments, and hopefully we'll crash those out at our work session next week that we're going to invite Eric to attend.
Just to recap for both the applicant and the commission, my understanding of his concern was mainly about oil and sediment separation in the water that's heading towards the detention area and then out from there. So that's primarily his concern, as I understand.
Are there any answers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the T team.
That's what we intended to cover this evening. I think we're well underway. I think we've got a good basis of where we're headed. I think the technical work session next week at FSC should resolve a lot of the questions. And basically, we have just going through them as we end. I've got basically a two-page matrix which we developed. Probably there's 20 items we pulled out of the report that specifically we're going to have. There's basic questions or recommendations, and we have basically responses to the questions which clarify things that, this answer was here covered by this, or that's a good point. We're going to spend the next week double-checking that to verify something, or as I talked about, something such as the test pits. We think we have a position where most of them are covered, but we are proposing to go out there and take a few more, especially up near the B&P
like at the Park and Ride, and a couple other locations along the whole project corridor. I think each town we need to do one or two more in as we're looking at some specifics. But I think overall, I think we feel comfortable. We are going to want to be able to get out the BNP side of the water department land, so once we agree to what we need to do there, then basically we'll work on some kind of a quick right of entry type process so we can get on town land to take those borings as quickly as possible. We're going to use the same firm that's done the other borings for us up and down along the corridor, which is New Hampshire Boring, to get out there and take what we need. We don't, based on the prior use of that area, as basically the old plans, the sand filled the area for the water park land, we feel very comfortable with the soils out there doing what we want them to do. But that doesn't mean we don't need to take the boring, so we're going to do that. We expect we're going to get everything we need from relatively shallow borings to prove the point we're good with and place the initiative. So if there aren't any other questions, I think that wraps us up for tonight, and we expect to have a good productive work session next week.
Do you think that this revised plans matrix will be available to us?
In advance of the meeting?
Yeah.
I think our intention would be to meet sometime the middle third of next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, basically grind these things out, come to conclusion, hopefully by the end of the week, be able to send them out, which would get them to you folks half a week before the meeting.
Right.
You could make some late weekend reading that you can do as you're watching TV or whatever.
But I do want to stress that if you have any additional questions with regard to peer review comments, you can forward them on to us, and we'll address those according to our next meeting.
I did have one more question. I just wanted to confirm that you were all set with the peer review scope of work. You seemed that you didn't really have any comments, so I just wanted to confirm that.
No, from my perspective, fine.
Okay, great. Thank you. Then you just see by the number of comments that there was no conflict of interest.
I noticed that.
Yeah, they gave us more work to do than we thought we were entitled to. We'll talk about
it. We appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you all.
Yeah, man. Okay. Anybody from the public? Do we have any real public here? Mm-hmm. All right. I assume you want a continuance?
Yes. Might be back in 2 weeks.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We'll give them a minute to clear out.
What's it?
Sign up to share the traffic?
Yeah, that's fine.
I spent a lot of friggin' time doing these. I want them in color.
Have you done GIS, right? Did you use the full license for it? Or did you have through the commission discount, or was it how did you? Okay.
Through Parker River.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I'd like to do a little bit of work with that. Modeling, I've done some before, but I'd like to actually focus a little bit on the landscape of movement for the buildings and so forth. So, if you're talking about development goals,
you have to exaggerate a bit because
you do, because you don't see it.
Yeah. It's pretty flat.
I've done like a 10 times thing because otherwise it looks flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still creepy how flat the industrial park is.
Right.
At 10 times.
Yeah.
It is.
Most of it comes out this morning, that's really good for these engineers to get back and forth, and I'd hope they'll be able to get a hold of a good time for John Harrison to get back and forth a couple times between now and the next meeting. I mean, the resource area is outside. I feel like it's a good season, but I think they're planting plans for the season, like if they don't have that first next meeting. But the stormwater is the big issue. And,
do we have to be careful about the fact that they're not going to have this contractor on board as well?
Well, so that's why we have to define any outside parameters in the condition, and you want them to come back with later on and say, you know, we submit this in the time.
And some of the rest of those are just some of the rest of those.
I hear a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Right. When the new contract
is all in favor?
Employed,
aye.
Keeps
aye.
The contract
opposed? Well,
there's this contract.
Joe, which
Joe
does
have a question?
There's two.
Right.
Okay.
So, that's really important.
Oh, and you won't be.
Good. Hang on a second. I'm going to shut this up.
That's why I'm interested in the planting plan because.